The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody!
Here's what's coming up on today's experience. Devotional Diamonds of the Day, also known as DDDs, where my daily devotionals become some of our spiritual reflections. Sound effects placed throughout the show which have nothing to do with life, but man, do they make us smile. The review of the Goofy News, which proves Jesus is coming back sooner than you think. Oh, come Lord Jesus, please. Life lessons for our faith that we can actually use. We can actually use life lessons for our faith. What a thought. Humor that will force you to think, why does this guy have a radio show? Also, Bible trivia for fake and yet somehow real cool prizes, your phone calls, and more. Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavily talked. My name is David Spoon. I will be your host for the next 1,800 seconds. Get ready for one of the more bizarre experiences on live radio. Here is the key to the show. We don't know what we're doing. That's pretty obvious. We have no idea what's going to happen. Neither does anybody else. And we don't care because we're just going to trust the Lord. But for the next few minutes, I want to talk faith with you. So here we go. We're asking that question about living life as a Christian thingy. That part of it where you do go beyond Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, or if it's a Thursday night or a Monday night, or whatever your home group is, or your life group, or your kinship group, or whatever you call them. Just Christianity all the time, because Christianity is not a check-in twice a week faith. It is a 24/7, 365 faith. That's what we're here to do, is to encourage you in your faith. If you have a comment, an opinion, a thought, or a question, if you have a prayer request, which we're going to get to in a couple of seconds, if you have a praise report, if you have an answer to trivia, which we'll get to in the next segment, if you have something you want to share that the Lord's working on in your life, you're welcome to, and the ways to do it are pretty simplistic. You can reach out to us, call us directly, 972-445-0770. That direct call as opposed to an indirect call. I don't know what that means, but I'm just going to say it. 972-445-0770. When you make that phone call, you find out that Terrific T answers the phone, and when she answers the phone and you talk to her, it's a blessing. There you go. I mean, that's just, come on. It's a blessing. Talk to her on the phone. Very, very
Amen.
Good. Amen. Amen. Also, you can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. And then you can also email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org, which leads me to direct you to our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, so we're back on Monday. For those of you that are having a little bit of blues, let's just get rid of that, because what if the Lord comes back today? That would be fantastic. That would make Mondays the greatest days of all. So just get in sync with what the Lord wants to do, and let's get together in this process. We want to open up with prayer. I got a prayer request in the email on our form on our website, so we're going to pray for it. I'm not going to give all the details, but we pray for one another, so we're going to pray for a couple of people. Just want you to join me as we open this up. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and we lift up Michelle to you. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would bring healing into her life. She's had some changes take place and out of nowhere, and it's really challenging her. It's discouraging. It's disoriented her life, and we're asking you just to bring calm in the midst of a storm. When the winds were deep and loud and the waves were hard-hitting, you just told both the winds and the waves to be still and be quiet. and you brought the calm that was needed. We ask you to bring the calm into her life right now. We pray that exact prayer for Joy and for Cordy, for the stuff they have going on. We pray for Sam's wife. She's got some knee issues. We pray for Ace. We pray for the people in our group that really are hurting and just need a little help. They need some encouragement. They need some touch. And we're asking you to do that very thing, and that your spirit of grace, your spirit of rest would be upon them, and they would be firm in the faith. We thank you for the safeties you've brought us, and we ask you to continue to do that and bring us all the way through. As you have started this work in us, that you will continue it until the day of the Lord. We lift all this up with praise, thanksgiving, trust, and confidence. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, that's how we start rock and rolling right off the bat, right? Okay, just we'll give you a quick update over the weekend. Aunt Deb, we went to a wedding, and it was Blake and Holly's wedding, and that's Aunt Deb's son, and it was really pretty. It was really nice. The venue, it was far out there because I'd never been there. And if you've never been to a place and you drive to it, you're like going, where am I going? Where am I going? Where am I going? But we got there. It was great. And the mother-son dance was so beautiful. I mean, it was almost like I thought they were both crying. It was just like so touching. It was like, you know how you have the dances and they live? This was a good one. I will say, even from my perspective, that was a pretty good one. Okay, so that's that. So keep Deb in prayer. She's going to spend a week recovering in multiple ways, I would assume. Let's get into our text. Our text today is in 1 Thessalonians. Do we cover? We cover everything. We can go right to it, right? Our text in 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to tell you something nobody's ever told you before. Ready? I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to read out of the text. I'm going to tell you what it means in the most practical terms. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I think we're going to go with verse 8. It says, therefore, we don't need to say anything, for they themselves report what kind of reception we've had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says this amazing thing. I'm going to break it down for you in the most practical terms you've ever heard. You are a radio receiver. Did you hear that? You are a radio receiver. You are a radio receiver. Did you know that you listen to radio right now? I'm telling you. Even if you're on the internet, doesn't matter. You're a radio receiver. Because why? Because verse 9, Paul says, they themselves report what kind of reception we had. You are receiving that which comes from the Lord. You're receiving his truth waves instead of radio waves, truth waves, and they're coming in. And it even says how you turned to God from idols to serve the living God. So you turned the channel, the radio channel, from a channel that was not that great, idols and bad things like that, and you tuned in your frequency finder unto the Lord. And now, as a radio, you have reception for the truth waves from God. I'm just going to wager not a lot of people have called you a radio receiver lately. And here's the bottom line. We tune into God and turn the dial away from things that do not help us. That is the most practical advice Paul is complimenting the church at Thessalonica, because they did this. They changed the dial so that they can tune in to God, because the other things that they were tuning into were not only distracting them, which is what they often do in our lives, but they were alluring them and pulling them. They were idols. They were little monuments in their lives that they were spending too much devotion to, too much commitment to, too much honor to. And that's what an idol is when you're talking about an idol in your life. It doesn't have to be some big grand thing that they show you in the movies or something like that. An idol can be anything that you give too much devotion to, too much time to, too much priority to. You can make an idol out of almost anything. I think exercise is really good for people. I like to exercise when I get there. I don't like that people look at me funny. That I don't care about. But the bottom line is I could make exercising an idol. I can be so devoted to it that it takes away from other priorities that I should be involved with, like communicating with my kids, spending time with God, making sure I'm doing a good job in my support of people. Anything in your life that you give too much time and too much devotion to, it could be a television. I mean, the truth of the matter is we set it on a pedestal and put it up high, and then we sit there and we look, and we look, and we look. I'm not saying that TV is the devil, but you can make it an idol in your life by making that your priority. I was going to go to church, but you know what? Matlock is on. Okay, so it's like that would be bad. And so what we need to do is make sure our frequency finder is tuned into God first, and that we turn from idols to serve the living God. He's not dead. It's not a joke. He's alive, and he's watching, and he's listening, and he knows what our priorities are inside of us. So if you have a priority that's less than God, you know what I'm saying? If you have some other priority that's interfering with God, you need to remove it. You need to change that channel. It's not that you can't do those other things. You just do them in time. You see, the ticket is that nothing should master you except the master of heaven. You are free, but you should be mastered by nothing except for God himself. And the only debt that we're supposed to hold in our entire lifetime that never changes, I'm not talking about mortgages, I'm not talking about paying monthly bills. The only debt that never changes is our debt to love one another and care for one another, think about one another, and take care of one another. That's the debt that never changes, okay? So you, radio receiver, tuning in to God waves, turning off idol waves, make sure that you got a clear signal, okay? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
By the way, I found out just the other day, I know you don't know this, but I found out that I am one of the most hated people in the United States of America and in the world. Did you know that?
Because you're a middle-aged white guy?
Ha! Let me help you out here, son. Let me help you out. Not only am I a middle-aged white guy, by the way, thanks for the middle age line. Thanks, pal. I appreciate that.
I'm not that far behind.
Okay, well, that's not the point. The point is, I'm also, ready? I'm also Jewish, okay? So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm Christian, So I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm conservative. I have a lot of people that don't like me right there. I'm an American. Got a lot of people that don't like me right there. I mean, you see where we're going with this? And I have a talk show. So that's just, you put all those together.
My you got points, me left. Yeah, I love you, buddy.
I mean, come on. You know, just because they love me doesn't mean they're right. And just because they hate me doesn't mean they're wrong. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here we go for our first trivia. You know, I was just trying to figure out what is actually middle age. What are the ages? Now, I know how the Bible goes. It's 0 to 20 is like 0 to 2 is an infant. Then 2 to 20 is a young child. 20 to 40 is a young adult. 40 to 60 is an adult, and then 60 plus is a senior or an elder. I'm just trying to figure out, in our society, what is middle age now? Because I just, you know, doesn't it change? I mean,
I don't know. Maybe like middle age is between 30 and 40 or 30 and 50?
30 and 50, like the 40-50 range kind of thing? I'm just curious. I mean, there's got to be a definition somewhere. I just don't know what it is. All right, here's the trivia question. That has nothing to do with this. What person in the Bible said to Paul in the book of Acts, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian. You almost persuade me to be a Christian," which would be a better translation. "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Okay? "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." Ooh. And then some of the other translations, it would say, "Persuadest thou meest to be a Christianeth?" Okay, but I think you get the idea, right? All right. Let's do our DNA. DNA, just our building blocks, keeping it simple. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And A, always be ready
to serve.
To serve. So you're conscious of other people, not just yourself. You want to think about other people. Oh, good. Somebody's calling in already. You want to be conscious of other people. You want to think of others. Not that everybody's better than you are. You just want to think of them as that. That word better has to do with the amount of time, more often than you just think of yourself. It's really what's going on here. Christianity is all about it not being about us. It's kind of the nicest way to put it. All right, ready? Ready? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, it's Sam.
Hi, how are you, brother?
Hey, very good.
Okay, well, we prayed for your wife, so I didn't know if you got a chance to hear that or not few minutes ago.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you are more than welcome. You're our brother. Yes. We love you in the Lord. All right, my friend. What person said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian"?
I think it was Agrippa.
King Agrippa, that is correct.
Yes.
King Agrippa, that is exactly right. So there's a couple of different translations. It says, you know, almost persuade us, or are you trying to persuade me that fast, whatever. I think the mention there is pretty straightforward. He's like going, you know, wow, that was some presentation. Are you trying to convince me right away? It's like, yeah, and it's like, almost. And it's like, oh, that he would be that way. How are you doing in general, my brother?
Good. Well, right now, to be honest, just having a little struggle with our oldest daughter. Like, she's kind of just having a little difficult season, put it in this way.
Gotcha.
So that's like just kind of a little struggle right now I'm dealing with, and my wife, and praying like God will just either help. God help us.
Gotcha.
Mercy on
that. Now, you don't even have to say anything. I know every other thing you're thinking and feeling. That's what's so funny about parenting, isn't it?
Yes. So just praying, Lord, help us to be gracious and also to not provoke. And I mean, I have a tendency to provoking her while there is a little heated conversation. So, and I know I need to change.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're gonna pray for you. You got a little sound coming out of something in your area. I don't know if that's your radio or not, but it's a little. Yeah, there it goes. Okay, there we go. Thank you, brother. You want to pray real fast? Let's pray.
Sure.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. Nobody knows parenting better than you. Nobody knows how hard it is as much as I do, too. It's so hard, Lord. And there are times where we kind of think we do the right thing, then we don't do the right thing, and it doesn't come off the right way. And we're not trying to be lousy parents. We're trying to parent the best we can, keep our kids focused in you, focused in the right things, and focused in the right direction. We certainly want the best for them. We want them to be connected to you first and foremost, because you're a much better parent than we are. And we ask you to give all of us, not just Sam, but all of us who are listening, the wisdom to be the best parents that we can be, being led by your Holy Spirit, directed by your word, giving the support where we need to, and making sure we're not discouraging our kids. Help us to do that the best way possible. Give us grace in this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so very much.
You're welcome, brother. I feel your pain, and I know what it's like, so I bless you, okay?
Oh, thank you. All right. Okay, have a blessed day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's right. I'm a parent. I get it. That's all I'm going to say. You just think it would change when they get older and they have their own kids. Not quite exactly that way. All right, let me get back to this text. We only have a little bit of time. I want to make sure you get this. So the next rest of this verse, because we just finished, they themselves report what kind of reception we had from you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescued us from this coming wrath. Let me point something out to you. Two big points in here. One, we're supposed to wait for the second coming. I just want to say this. There's nothing wrong with the prophecies. There's nothing wrong with us having an anticipation and a higher expectation. In fact, what you will find out is that sometimes the premillennial position is just flat out better because it creates a greater sense of expectation. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's everything right with that. But what we can't do when we're waiting for the Lord is become impatient, because impatience will not make God come any sooner. Impatience will not get your prayer answered any faster, will not get God to – you will never manipulate God to move on your timetable. That's not how it works. You offer up a prayer, you keep praying, you pray until something happens, you keep on moving forward, but God answers when he wants and how he wants. And that's that. So that's the first thing. So he says, to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven. Be patient. The Lord is coming. The longer he delays, let's just be honest, the more people get saved. You might not think of it in those terms, but he does. And then he says this, whom he raised from the dead, referring to Jesus, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. So here's what I want you to be aware of. When mankind said, to God, it put the entire planet and the entire human race on a crash course with like a Niagara Falls fall off the edge moment. Get that? I want you to see that picture. The entire world getting ready to go over the edge, and that's it, right? In the process, Jesus, who in the Old Testament is called the branch, there's a branch right there. We're all in this boat. And you can grab the branch, and it'll lift you right up. You don't even have to do anything. You just got to put your hand up and, you know, put your hand up. He'll grab you, bring you right up. That's the branch that's going to save people from going over the edge. But do not make a mistake. That over the edge moment is coming. And it's not going to be pretty. And while there's a few people that think, well, boy, I can't wait till those people get theirs, it's not going to feel that way. It's not going to be that way, because when these people reach this point, when the coming wrath of God comes, it's going to be absolutely lights out disaster, and it's going to be just a broken time of all of these people that have rejected God. And it's horrible. I mean, it's a horrible thing, a dreadful thing. The Bible says it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, you know, for the judgment of God. It's terrible. But while this whole planet and the whole of the universe in the system of Earth is moving towards the edge of this Niagara Falls drop-off, there's a branch. And that branch will, like I said, Jesus called the branch in the Old Testament. That branch will rescue you from the coming wrath, because you should make no mistake. There is a coming wrath on this planet. And for all the things that we may do pretty good, and I think there's some things we do pretty good, and so for all the things that we do bad, and I think there's a considerably large amount of things that we all do bad, for all the injustices that have taken place that have never been righted, for all of the inappropriates that have never been challenged or taken care of, for all the things that are wrong, there is coming a moment where God says everything is due right now. And when God does that, nobody's standing up. nobody's shouting. There's no arrogance. There's nothing. Because when God drops his justice in, it's going to be absolute devastation, except for those who are saved. There's no, you can't get away. You can't change it. You can't unwrite it. You can't untake out of the mouth of the prophets that he's been proclaiming this from Genesis all the way to Revelation, and people beyond the book of Revelation have been proclaiming the end is coming, the end is coming. Yeah, that's more right than wrong. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, and God's going to go, this puppy is over. We're done with this program. I'm shutting it down. Then it's when that, once that happens, it's the new programs of a new heavens and a new earth that we function in with the Lord on a place where sin will never have a chance to enter, nor pain, nor any kind of discomfort, nor any reason to have a distrust, nor any reason to have a fear. But that comes after the judgment. And that judgment is absolute. So you can reach out and grab that branch, which is called Jesus, and be removed from the coming wrath or not. It's a decision every person has to make. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a short break, top of the hour. Don't go anywhere.
Just as I am, you reach down and see me.
When confronted by the unimaginable, look at how some of the Bible heroes responded. Abraham's wife, Sarah, laughed when the Lord promised her a son in old age. Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too hard for the Lord? The Lord answered. That's Genesis 18:13. Zechariah, priest in the temple, asked, how can I be sure of this to Gabriel? I am Gabriel, the angel answered. I stand in the presence of God and have been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Luke, this is out of Luke 1:19. In other words, God was saying, God can do this. Mary exclaimed, how are you going to do this? When Gabriel brought her that great news of her son that she would bear, the angel assured her, nothing, with God, nothing will be impossible. Luke 1:37, the disciples questioned Jesus, and he answered them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Matthew 19:26. The Lord reminded the prophet Jeremiah, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? Jeremiah 32:27. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Praise to him who is able. Listen, this is Ephesians 3:20. Praise to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Finally, when life just seems impossible, we can memorize and believe and agree with the Apostle Paul's conclusion of all his personal struggles, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, which is in Philippians 4:13. Darkness comes. This is from John Piper, this next statement. Darkness comes. In the middle of it, the future looks blank. But with God, nothing is impossible. He has more ropes and ladders and tunnels out of pits than you can ever conceive of. So wait and pray without ceasing and hope. I think that this kind of thought process, it's not name it and claim it, it's just believing that God is the God that can do anything, is applicable for his kids
to operate in when their situation seems impossible, that we deal in the truth of the possible that God brings.